Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And I feel like before we get into anything, we've got to address the elephant in the room, you guys. Lucy Hale and Harry Jowsey are allegedly dating. What do we think?
I hate it.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Tell me more.
I don't want anyone to date him. I think he's dangerous.
I think he's a bad guy.
I think it's terrible. And especially because it seems like she's in such a good place. Yeah. And it's not that, I mean, I trust that she's, I mean, she's an adult. She's making decisions for herself. It's fine. But I don't see how their lifestyles are really all that compatible.
Well, I guess, so I didn't know this, but he is apparently sober as well now. And I think that was something they like connected over. So I guess the rumor, I mean, neither one of them has really come out and like confirmed this. So it'd be kind of hilarious if this wasn't true at all. But they've also not denied it, which makes me think it is true.
Yeah.
And I remember a few months ago, we heard something about this because he had slid into Lucy Hale's DMs and she responded and then they like hit it off. And apparently she was like helping him a little bit with his sobriety. Now, here's the thing. I think he's a dirty liar. So I'm like, if he's using the sobriety thing, you know, as a way to connect with her, then that's even more diabolical than, you know,
and
but
I also
hope that that's
like,
not happening.
I think she's in a really secure spot in her sobriety, it seems. But I also feel like that's not always a great start for a relationship is two people that are. Not that she's newly sober, but I mean, it's relatively new. It's been like 2 years, I feel like, or two or 3 years.
I don't think she's leaning on him. I think it's him leaning on
her,
which I still agree is not a
great place.
I still
think that's
a
tough
dynamic. Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I'm like, Lucy, do you watch reality television? Have you watched any of the shows that he's on? Because here's what I will say. Harry Jowsey is so hot. Like, he is like 7 feet tall and ripped and he's got the accent and he's charismatic. Like, I understand the moments where these girls in the shows are like, oh, Harry, like, I get it. I would probably fall for it, too, until he shows what a fucking psychopath he is. Like, it's amazing to me. I think it was Perfect Match that I saw him on when he was with Jess Vestal. I don't know if I'm saying her last name.
I don't remember any of the names of the people he was with.
But you know her, right? You know who I'm talking about. She was like the big star from Love is Blind because she was like a certified hottie and she is the kid.
I think that was the more recent show, right?
Yeah.
Well, his breakout was Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah, that was his breakout. So this was, okay. I believe, this okay, so Perfect Match filmed prior to
after
him
Dancing with the Stars.
Before him being on Dancing with the Stars. So he and Jess were allegedly together the entire time he was doing Dancing with the Stars. And he was telling her that he had to be fanning the flames of this relationship with Riley Arnold because it was really good for the show. It was really good for their stats on the show. And I think Riley Arnold got her heart completely broken during this. But he had said to Jess, like, that's what this is for. I'll try to tone it back a little bit. But like that was an issue in their relationship because nobody could know that he was with Jess because the show hadn't aired yet. So it was like a secret that he was with anybody. And so he was acting like this with Riley. And then the show comes out and turns out he had been with Jess the entire time that was all happening. And then on
right,
that show, this whole crazy thing where, you know, I won't rehash all of Perfect Match, but the whole deal was on one of the days where the girls and the guys are separated, he kisses this girl named Melinda on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see it. It is filmed. And he goes on to deny it. Melinda confronts him about it on camera. He denies it to her face. He denies it to Jess. And then, like, it all comes out that it was true. And we see it. And there's zero remorse from the man. And that is where it was just like, I remember watching that and being like, oh, he's a super villain.
When someone has the capability to lie like that, it's super scary.
Knowing that they're being fit. And it's just like, he didn't care. Yeah. Like, he didn't care that. Like, I was like, okay, boom. I can't wait to see this major moment where he's going to have to be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry it came out. Like, there wasn't that moment. Like, I mean, he might have given a half-assed apology. I don't know. But he has just repeatedly shown us that he's like really not a good guy. I don't know what went down between him and Riley Arnold, but like, I was like, get that girl as far away from him as possible. Now, what I'll say about Lucy Hale, homegirl's been in the business for a long time. She's dated a lot of famous people. Like, I do want to trust her to make her own decisions here. I don't get it, but the little sick and twisted and toxic part of me is kind of like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens with this. Like, I just kind of, I hope it's nothing terrible for Lucy Hale, of course, but it's kind of an exciting little pairing, especially for us and people who are interested in the things we're interested in. It's like merging reality TV with our favorite show.
I know, and we got a ton of DMs about it.
I know. So it is, I mean, in terms of things that I'm going to be watching and eager and excited to watch, this will be one of them. But it's not because I think that, like, they're a great match or that I think they should get married. But I know it's a little toxic of me, but I'm kind of, like, along for the ride with it.
I'm along for the ride, erring on the side of I don't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Same. I think I would love to like it. If it turns out,
if it were, like, and this is so different, but if I'm thinking along the lines of if she's going to date a reality star, like, I know he's in a relationship, but I would much rather love, like, a Tyler Cameron or, like,
well,
someone who just seems a little,
know, she dated Colton Underwood.
Oh, right.
Let's not forget she dated Colton Underwood, disgraced former Bachelor.
Was that between when he was on The Bachelorette and when he was The Bachelor?
I believe so. Or it was, I think it might have been. Because
it couldn't have been after Cassie.
Could not have been after Cassie. Because he was dating Allie Raisman, the Olympian, for a long time before he was ever on the show. I think that's how it kind of got picked up for the show.
And then he was on Becca's season, top four.
And I guess it probably was after that.
Yeah, he was on Paradise. So maybe.
Because then he was with Tia on Paradise. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were linked together at some point. So I'm like, she's not really new to her to, like, dip her toe in the reality TV fuckboy world.
Yeah. Yeah. Harry's just a tough pick. I just feel like there are guys that don't have the reputation necessarily that Harry does. And that doesn't mean that they're better.
Totally agree.
I just feel like he's such a polarizing guy.
I mean, literally, there are days when I can't believe he has a podcast on the Unwell Network. I can't believe like he's even allowed to have
Alex
a microphone.
Cooper likes him.
Yeah, like there are a lot of moments like that. But a couple things. One, I think there's a world where they've been dating for a while and they're just now coming out with it. Because I did hear about this like months ago. And I thought it was just,
well,
like,
didn't
a rumor.
We also hear that she was, like, in the back of a bar in New York making out with Jacob Elordi?
Yeah, we did. I forgot about
didn't
that.
Didn't we talk about that, too? Good for
good
her.
For
good for
good
Lucy.
Good for Lucy Hale. I mean, okay.
She likes it, like, a tall,
she
like,
likes
big
a
guy.
Huge guy, which is, I think I made a TikTok and I was like, I know it's toxic, but, like, she's tiny, he's huge. Like, there's something about it, you know, that just, I want to see pictures of them together. I would love to see the Instagram
really
pictures that they're going to post. I have to say it.
She just
would.
Feels like so, like, I feel like right now her brand is so, like, clean living and, like.
You do?
Like, I mean, peaceful and, like.
No, I agree.
This just seems really messy for her right now.
It does seem very messy. I do agree with you that seems to be her whole vibe. But then I'm always, like, floored when I watch these movies she makes where she's playing, like, the sex positive girl who's like, no strings attached. Let's just do it.
I think
that's
she,
like,
probably is.
Role.
I do think she gives sex positive for sure. But in a way where it's like almost like wellness influencer vibes. You know what I mean?
So on one hand, you know, I'm like, maybe she listened to Tortured Poets Department and was like, I can fix him. No, really, I can. And I don't like that position for any woman. I hate it.
No.
But I'm like, maybe. I don't want to say that. I don't want to be like, maybe she's the answer and he's going to be a good guy for her, because that's just not true and that's not her responsibility. And, like, that so rarely happens. But
and I don't believe that for him anymore. Like, no. He's had a lot of girls who could have been that and he has botched it every time.
He loves a good girl. He loves a girl who's, like, America's sweetheart.
And he
loves
fucking them over.
Yes.
Like, so almost immediately.
If this crashes and burns, I'm going to be really sad for Lucy for sure. But I'm also going to be watching with popcorn, because the truth is I don't know these people. So I'm allowed to just want to watch and not be that invested in either of them, you know. But of course, I hope it doesn't end in catastrophe. But I just, there's something about it that I'm like, I want more of this. Give me more information. Give me pictures of a pap walk. Something.
Yeah, I want that.
Do you think he'll talk about it now on his podcast since it's been like announced?
Oh, I don't know. I've never listened to it. So I have no idea what he really talks about. But I will be tuned into it. But I do hope that it's not true.
Yeah, I think it is true. But I don't see it lasting very long. But it's an interesting piece of pop culture news for us and our listeners. And there's a lot Definitely. That I want to get into. Do you mind if I jump into something else right off the bat?
Yeah, because I really don't have a whole lot to talk. I also, apologies, I haven't gotten to Southern Charm yet, so I can't talk about that.
Okay, that's okay. It was kind of boring.
I feel like this whole season has been pretty boring.
Yeah. So, Temptation Island, you guys. Oh, my God. I've never watched one episode. Okay. I have never watched this show before. But remember when I was like freaking out about Montoya a few weeks ago and all the clips on Twitter of like the show where it was like all in Spanish and there were no subtitles, but people were riveted. It didn't matter that they like English speakers didn't understand it because the drama was insane. This is that show. It's just in the US. Yeah. And the premise of the show, you guys, four couples go to Temptation Island. And the whole idea is that they are going to test their relationships and see if they can overcome temptation. And so all of the boyfriends go live in a villa with a ton of single girls, and all of the girlfriends go live in a villa with a ton of single guys. And every other night, they're shown little clips of what their partners are doing in the other villa. But they're like edited in a way to make it look like so you really fear the worst is happening. Who in their right mind would go on this show?
Is that a lot of these, it's like, this is like a twofold thing. One, all these couples have been in a relationship for a pretty long time. So it's like, find other ways to test your relationship. This is not the answer.
This is not.
Because all of these relationships are actually incredibly fragile and they're because of infidelity.
Yes.
That's already an insecurity in the relationship.
Like in every one of these relationships, that's like
they've
a common
all
thread.
Been basically one person in each relationship has cheated.
Yes. And now there is one relationship here where I'm like, actually want to set them down and be like, why did you come on the show? Because they've been together for 3.5 years.
Yes. And like the one where they like moved to a bunch of different cities.
Yeah. I'm just like, what
and
are you
And they're
thinking?
The couple that has decided that they
don't
they,
have
like,
rules?
At the beginning of this, they all talk about what their boundaries are as a couple. And every couple basically is like, no touching, don't
no
date,
kissing,
like all this stuff. And then we get to this couple who you would expect, the guy like seems like he doesn't really want to be there. Like he seems like he is like,
yes.
Initially, I haven't gotten farther in, but it seems like he's kind of just like, she's pulling him along and like she's more into this. And she's also the one who cheated. Which didn't cheat, but he thought they were exclusive in the beginning of the relationship and she didn't.
Yeah.
And like, but they don't have any, they're like, you can do whatever you want. And it's like, was that her, not to blame the woman, but was that your initial idea? You were like, we can go in and do whatever we want. And he's going to like, either he's going to do that and she's going to like have a real breakdown.
Yeah.
Or she's going to like fall in love with a different guy and like break his heart.
If my boyfriend, if Anthony had been like, Caroline, we got approached for the show. We should do it. I would be like, get the hell out.
What?
We're breaking up. Like, if you even want to discuss going on this show, then you don't want to be with me enough. Goodbye. Like, I feel like all of these couples must have had some sort of agreement before they went where they're like, hey, we don't actually want to be together, so let's just go fucking
What's
do this. You know what I mean?
What's the guy who said that he had been doing threesomes? What's his name?
Breon.
He gives the vibe of like it was his idea to come on the show. And
it was.
He's giving the Harry Jowsey of like he was saying to his girlfriend that this was going to be good for them and all this stuff. And he's got her back. And then just like Harry goes off to that one day where they get introduced to all the singles. He can't even for one second when his girlfriend's not around to like reel him back in.
Right.
He can't control himself.
Well, and the other thing is like, so Breon and Shantae are this couple, and Shantae, Breon keeps telling all of us, is not very sexual. She's not like, that's not a big thing for her. And he's literally said like the only issue in their relationship is that he is so sexual and he's dying to have a threesome and she doesn't want to. And so, like, that's why they're here, so that he can see if he can, I guess, resist the temptation to have a threesome. I'm like, grow up.
With a couple of these couples, it's like, I feel like the answer to, like, you guys strengthening your relationship is really, like, you guys aren't meant to be in a relationship with each other.
Like, and I promise you,
if you, first of all, it is, like, grow up. Like, if you want to be in a serious relationship, that shouldn't be something that's harming your relationship, that you want to have a threesome that badly. But if there's a difference in, like, sex drive between the two of you, that could be a conversation. Maybe you weren't compatible.
Right.
So, like, this isn't the answer. Putting yourself in a position where you're going to be emotionally terrorized by each other, it's like, obviously, I mean, this isn't going
to
end well.
In what world are any of these couples going to leave Temptation Island in a better place than they entered? Like, I just don't see that, because the thing is, they're also, and you'll get into this, but the bonfire nights where they show the videos, like, there were some videos that were shown where I was like, okay, that's not fair, because you are showing a video that paints a picture. It's like what we always say about how reality TV is edited and produced and all these things. They're doing that just in these little bite-sized clips to emotionally terrorize the girlfriend and the boyfriend. That's another, like,
the thing about this show is that you might be going in somehow with good intentions, but you are so naive. You're way too naive to think that the show is also you
has good intentions
in the show's
for you.
Best interest.
Absolutely.
Like, that they don't want this to work out, because then they don't have a show. But I also think, like, and I haven't gotten here yet, but I also would present, like, that one girl, there's the blonde girl. There's not two blonde girls,
there's two blonde girls, Ashley and Taylor. So there's Ashley and Grant. Grant is a dad and has tattoos.
Yes.
And then there's Taylor and Tyler. Tyler is, like, the model who's not really employed anymore. And Taylor seems like she's too old for the show. And then there's Shantae and Brianne, who are the threesome couple. And then we've got Alexa and Lino.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, that sounds right.
And they've been together for 3.5 years. Yeah.
But I'm like, I can see this girl, Ashley, getting really upset even at just watching him go on the dates. And it's like, but that's the show. So you can't watch that and act like he's doing anything wrong when, like, that's the mandatory part of it.
And I also don't want him.
And they got into that little fight when they all picked who they were going on dates with.
Crazy. I don't like the idea also that gives the guys an excuse to be like, well, you can't be mad at me. I'm not saying you are, but I'm like, the show sets it up that way, where it's like the guys are like, well, that's what we're literally here for. What? Like, I'm sorry I got my dick sucked. It was what we're here for. Like, I don't like
that. I mean, more so that just the dates. Like,
no, I
know. Because they have to go on the dates. So I could see Ashley, because she is clearly insecure in this relationship, like, in a way that is crazy.
Which, hey, by the way, makes complete
unsolvable.
Absolutely. Sense once you watch the show.
1,000%.
I can't believe Grant.
Even before the rest of the show. Like,
I'm sorry. I know. But the fact that, and I know I don't want to spoil it for you, but the fact that Grant has a daughter, it makes me think of, what was that guy's name on Claire's season of The Bachelorette?
Yusuf.
Yusuf, who was like, my daughter's going to watch this and you're such a bad example for women. I'm like, what would he think of this? What would he think of this? Oh, my God.
But also, Yusuf. That's, I mean, not to rehash that, but, like,
what a piece of shit. Like,
do you think your daughter's going to watch that and be, like, proud of how you acted?
Yosef, if you heard someone talk to your daughter the way that you're talking to Claire, you would kill them. Like, that's, don't teach her that that's an acceptable way to be spoken to, you know? Exactly. But the other crazy thing about the show that's so funny, the host is Mark L. Wahlberg. The host has
Mark C. Wahlberg.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He does all sorts of these things. And people, he has to put the C in, because otherwise people are going to see his name and think
Mark.
That it's Mark Wahlberg.
No, and he is I mean, I am laughing out loud at him during, like,
he,
I was,
like, can't believe where he is.
I was in bed watching this last night, LOLing, thinking, I can't wait to talk about this with Phoebe, because Phoebe might like the host more than anyone else on, I mean, well, you will, but more than, like, what's happening on the show. I mean, literally, he's like, he shows them a clip from a bonfire, something like so abominable you can't even believe your eyes, and then he looks at them.
I'm gonna do something that I don't often do. Caroline was right, it's Mark L. Wahlberg. But on Netflix, it does say Mark C. Wahlberg. Okay. Like, on the little, like, cast.
There's no way, because...
That's what I saw. There's a reason. Your eyes might have
deceived you.
Anyway.
That is so... You're like, but... Okay, his name is Mark L. Wahlberg, but on Netflix, they're saying Mark C.
No, but I really do think that. I really do.
Maybe. Okay, anyway, take a picture later when you watch Show Me. But what's so funny is he's got the bonfire moment, and then he, like, there's a moment of silence afterwards, and then he looks at them and he goes, talk to me. And he just gets the funniest answer. He's like, I mean, he... I can't.
Imagine him getting the email pitch for him to do this show, and he's like, "Oh my god!"
He's like, "I am in."
Are you sure this show's gonna happen? Who's gonna sign up?
Who in their right mind would sign up for this? The whole time he's like, "Cheat, cheat, cheat!" Like, he's literally talking to them.
Honestly, here's the boys.
He's like, "You're not getting what you need from your girlfriend. I think you should cheat." And then to the girls, he's like, "How can you put up with this? You should really go explore the other connections."
I think that he would have made a great Chris Harrison replacement.
I thought the same, but he's a little bit too wacky.
But Jesse Palmer is a little too... I think it might be what The Bachelor could have used, was a little bit of wackiness.
So. I think once you
keep
watching...
Well, it's clearly not working, whatever they're doing.
Yes, but I think he is too wacky. You'll see. Just keep watching. You will be dying at the things that he says and the way that he says them. It's like... What? Like, it's... I can't even believe some of the shit that I've been watching, Phoebe. Like, and the other thing I have to say is this show is the most insane show I've ever seen, because here's the deal. Typically on these kind of shows...
I love that it's an hour long.
Yeah. Typically on these kind of shows, they're separated. So it's like the men and the women don't sleep in the same places, or, you know, on Love Island, all the beds are in the same room, or on, you know, Perfect Match, like, you have your person you're with, but, like, whatever. I think even, like, cameras might go off. On this show, every single girl and every single guy has their own room, their own bachelorette pad. And the girls are just there so they can have sleepovers anytime they want. And the cameras are on. And they're just like, I mean, the things that I'm seeing on this show, I'm like, okay, we are pushing the boundaries of what is allowed to be shown on television. Because it's crazy. And I just can't think. I'm like, I'm not slut shaming anyone, but do these people have mothers? Like, where are your mothers? One of the girls, her introductory line, one of the single girls, like, they all have their catchphrase, their tagline. Hers is, my guilty pleasure is sucking dick.
Yeah.
I was like,
imagine us telling mom that we were going to go on a show like this.
A mom would have me arrested. She would make up an insane story and have the police show up to my house and arrest me before she would allow me to get on a plane to go film this.
Us telling mom we're going on the show as a single, or us telling mom we're going on the show as a couple?
I don't know, but I can tell you one thing for sure. If I ever went on this show, I would be in my room crying with the door shut and the lights off the entire time. I would not be participating. I'd be like, please don't come in here and touch me. Like, any of the single boys. And the other funny thing is, it's like the guys go to the villa and they're like, let's go right away. They are crazy. The girls, it's like opposite. Like, they take a really long time. And it's funny because you watch all the single guys be like, yeah, no, I'm here for you. Like, whatever you need. Like, just hoping they're going to get thrown a bone. I'm like, don't even show them what's going on in the other villa, because these guys are going to be like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, Phoebe, you won't believe it. I need you to, like, binge it tonight. I'm going to finish it tonight. I'm not done. I'm on episode 7. It's 10 eps, you guys. But you've got to watch it. I can't believe it. Amber was like, I need you to watch this so we can talk about it. And she's like, and I need to know when you get to episode 5. And so, Phoebe, for you too, please jump into the Situation Room group chat when you get to episode 5. Because
I will.
All bets are off. I'll just tell you that.
Caroline, have you heard anything?
Oh, about Big Brother? Phoebe, you just asked me that, and anyone who's listening right now is probably like, oh my god, she did hear, and that's why Phoebe asked. Surely Phoebe wouldn't be so nasty as to ask when she knows the answer. No.
Here's the thing, like, you've made it clear that they could call at any literally time.
Hang on. Okay, yeah, I haven't heard yet. No, I
road
haven't.
Warriors, I need heard. You guys, Road Warriors, I need you guys to go on Julie Chen Moonvez's Instagram account, the Big Brother Instagram account, and don't tag the podcast.
Don't
tag Caroline.
Tag me personally.
Over and over and over.
And over
again.
And be like, have you met the newest star of the show? Like, what? what's going on?
I really
on?
Think this girl could win.
I could win, or at least give you the best season of television you've had in a minute, and that's saying something.
Like, you guys don't know.
You
what,
just don't
you guys
know
don't
what
understand.
You could have. You don't know what's right in front of you, right in front of your freaven eyes. No, I know.
Maybe
I haven't
got,
heard.
Think of how many videos they've gotten.
No, and that's what I keep telling have. Myself, because I know they've only been watching videos for 1 month. It's only been a month. They probably have so many. And they're probably like, well, Caroline's a shoo-in, and we know she's cleared her schedule, so we can call her at the last minute and she'll be ready. Like,
which she hasn't. Our mom just booked us a trip to Nashville when yeah, she would be gone.
That's true. But hey, mom, if I get Big Brother, Phoebe said, we'll make it work. I said to Phoebe, well, I have all these trips planned. What if I get on Big Brother? She goes, we will make it work. and I just love we'll it. Like, and that's sisterhood. And that Phoebe's like, oh, you not going on is not an option. We need this.
It's not.
Oh, it's not. It's not an option. I don't care if your mental health is in the freaking gutter. You're going. Me telling my therapist,
better yet.
Hey, me telling my therapist and my psychiatrist, hey, just so you know, I did apply for Big Brother. And like, I'm pretty sure they will call you if I were to get in there. And I just need you to
lie.
Say whatever you need to say. And they're like,
guys, never forget when I first started watching the live streams and I didn't know DR standed for diary room. And I was like, oh, my God.
She said these people,
like,
are
these people
sick.
Are they are going to the doctor all the time.
This is worse than like training camp for the Pittsburgh Steelers. OK,
I literally was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Leah's been to the doctor 18 times today.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Cam never goes.
Cam's never in the doctor. What does he got going on? Is he sucking the lifeblood out of the other contestants? I really, you know, they have until May to cast me, so I'm just trying to put it out of my mind.
And when does filming start?
I think June or July.
July?
I think July.
Well, if it's July, you can still go to Nashville.
Oh, you're right. I'll just go. Okay, what am I saying? Literally nothing in my life has to change. Except for the bachelorette party I'm going to in July. But the bride will understand. Okay, so I next want to talk about, I have a lot I want to talk about. So, like, if you have anything you want to jump in with, you just got to do it.
I don't think so.
Okay. So, why is Southwest Airlines
don't even get me started.
No, I want
to. Actually, they're on my rotation.
Oh,
so
they are? Okay. Well, we'll get into it. Yeah, we'll get into it. But I just want to say, our family, we have been so loyal to Southwest. I mean, for how long?
Except Dad, I think, for work now. I think he flies American more. Because Mom and I were talking, she's taking a flight somewhere, and I was like, you got to get these flights in before they change their policy.
Yeah.
And Mom was like, well, I'm not even flying them. And I was like, whoa, they already lost Mom's business.
Already, just like that. Well, that's what Anthony was like, babe, did you see Southwest is like changing everything that makes them Southwest? And I was like, no, they're not. I just went on a flight. And he was like, they are. They're going to take away free checked bags, which is insane.
That's like, your one thing.
That's
wait,
your
wait,
one
okay,
thing.
Let's,
okay, we'll get into it.
We can
it.
Either
we'll
talk about it now, or I'll just put it on my rotation.
Put it on your rotation. We'll do it on the rotation. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the new butt crack trend. that Phoebe's been doing on her walk. Just kidding, I'm joshing. But it is a
what
trend apparently now. No, Phoebe, shut up. You know what I'm talking about. The new trend that all these...
You're
listen,
like,
I'm telling you, all the starlets are showing their whole butt cracks and their dresses and things. And it's apparently like the hot new trend. It's like to wear a sheer dress or something that shows your whole butt crack. Or you're going to do like the whale tail, like the thong look sticking out of the pants. You
I
know?
Guess that, I'm more familiar. Well, I saw a really funny TikTok yesterday. Not really about this, but kind of. And they were like, it's these two people who work at a bar with a mechanical bull. And they're like, us when a girl falls off a mechanical bull, like her shirt comes up, she throws up, like all the stuff is out. And they're like cheering her on. And they're like, us when a guy gets on the bull and we see in like a little bit of his butt crack. And they're like,
and then everyone else starts throwing up. That is so funny. Are we going to make Mom ride the mechanical bull in Nashville?
Oh my God.
Wait, we have to now.
I don't know if she will.
No, Mom's going to be like, my feet, my yoga toes won't do it or something. She's going to like have like some excuse. I'm going to be like, I don't care what your excuse is. Get on.
Wow.
Get on. We're live. I'm going live for this. Okay. Well, I like don't have a nightmare rotation this week. And I wish I did because there's so much I'm annoyed about. And the next thing is the Vogue hairspray thing. Did you watch it?
Hormone Harmony. Road Warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news, with the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Yeah, I did. And here's what I will say initially. I thought there was going to be more to it, kind of. So, like, when I first saw it, I wasn't... I just kind of saw it while I was scrolling. I wasn't, like, mad. And I saw Laverne Cox and Cola Scola in it, so I was excited about that. I felt like that was, like,
oh, cool. And then,
And I knew immediately... Obviously, Gigi was playing Amber, because I think there was some confusion in the comments. Like, I think some people were acting, and I could be wrong. I feel like some people thought that she was being Tracy a little bit, because there are those scenes where Laverne is helping Gigi with different makeup stuff. You know what I mean? When they're in that room. But then, obviously, people that very quickly the discourse began, and I realized that they had centered...
Not even Penny. You know, Gigi's not playing Tracy. There just is no Tracy in this version of Hairspray. In Vogue's version of Hairspray, there just is no fat girl. There just is no Tracy. And it's the point of Hairspray. Yeah, the whole
mom just texted me. Gil. Wait, I'll read this. Gil, comma. Warning equals taco, comma. Watch equals fixings, question mark.
Okay, mom. Sorry, let me.
I gotta get my graphic out and send it in the family group chat.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you guys,
while you're doing that,
you guys are under a watch, which means that there's just the ingredients.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, like, here's the thing. Vogue puts out this. I don't even know what the video is really for, but they're using "You Can't Stop the Beat," which is famously the last song in Hairspray, and. If you've never seen Hairspray, I think
famously the song that I was dancing to when I thought I broke my foot.
Right. When was that?
A long time ago. Mom took me to the doctor to get an x-ray.
Oh, my.
Because I truly thought I broke my foot. I landed so hard on the ball of my foot.
Was this pre or post me getting my bones removed out of my foot because I hurt the ball of my foot?
I don't remember. I mean, I was too old to. It better have been post. Broke my foot because of dancing.
It can happen. Stranger things have happened.
Yes, but famously, I don't like to admit that I'm sick. I'm not saying you do. I just mean, like, I think that has always, like, with mom, I feel like she's taken my stuff more seriously sometimes because I will I'll wait to the last minute to say something's wrong.
I thought you were about
to
be
like, came to her and I was like, mom, I think I broke my foot. She was like, okay, Phoebe, every bone in Phoebe's foot must be fully shattered if she thinks that it's broken.
I thought you were going to say that you're like, well, I mean, I don't really for me to have a dance injury, it would have to be pretty unusual. I'm like, no, it isn't. You were, like, the dancer of the family. Even though I was in dance class 5 nights a week, you were the dancer. Door locked, music on, house shaking from the music. Phoebe's like, and no one's ever allowed to know what kind of moves I got. Until I break my foot. And then I'll ask, and then I'll pull back the curtain a little bit and show the doctor the kind of move I was doing that produced this terrible foot-breaking moment for me.
My foot wasn't broken. It was just sore.
Oh, my God. You are, that's dramatic of you. Oh, I'm not going to lie. It's super dramatic of you. So back to Hairspray. Even if you've never seen it, I do have to assume you know the premise of the show, which is that Tracy Turnblad is, quote, too fat for TV. and at the same time, segregation is alive and well. And so we don't have any people of color on the Courtney Collins show. And so, like, on one hand, yes, I'm happy to see the representation of, you know, we've got Laverne Cox, we've got Cole Scola. Like, I'm happy to see that on this Vogue thing. The fact that there wasn't a single plus size or even normal sized dancer in this is insane. And the fact that they centered the whole thing. Is Gigi
Hadid a dancer?
No, bitch. And they centered the whole thing around Amber, the Von Tussels, who, by the way, are the bad guys. I know they come around at the end, allegedly, but we don't really see what happens. There's no Hairspray, too. So, you know, we get our last line. Come on, you Von Tussels, go and shake your fanny muscles. They say, we can't. And they say, yes, we can. And they sing, ever since we first saw the sun, it seems Von Tussel girls are always trying to please someone. Now we're going to shake and shimmy it and have some fun today. That's all we get from them. Okay. So that's the growth. It's a little bit of growth. They're dancing on the show with people of color and fat people. But are they happy about it? I don't know. And so then we just decide to make her the protagonist of our Vogue, which, by the way, historically, Vogue doesn't like fat people either. And we're not going to put a single...
So honestly, this all makes perfect sense.
You know what? Okay, I take it all back. I take it all back. I get it. I just think it's insane. People are commenting like, this is Tracy Turnblad erasure. Like, how are you not...
I agree, but we can also... Once we finish talking about this, we can segue to Nikki Blonsky.
Well, we will. But I just honestly, like, I need to know, like, did nobody, this is where it confuses me so much.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Like, no one was like, so the plot of Hairspray matters here. Like, no one, just don't do a song from Hairspray. You don't have to.
Yeah, it just, exactly. It just seems like, do the fucking Sound of Music.
And it's like,
I don't know.
It's all, it feels a little bit like, they're like, well, you know, the main plot line of Hairspray is segregation, which, yes, but it's
true.
It's also
but
just
it's
about
the fat
like
girl who likes who like helps
who like fix,
bring
not
awareness
fixes
to
it,
that.
But like gets them on the show, like gets the show to kind of come around and merge their audiences and their talent and like integrate. And it's all her who does it. And the other whole thing is that she's too fat to be on TV, too. So it's really it's about like. Any kind of diversity on TV is a lot of what the show is also about. And so the fact that, I mean, the lead of the show is, I just think it's so crazy that you're going to make the Von Tussels the good guys and not even put
Tracy
in.
Well, it's not even
here.
About making anybody the good guy. It's just like making them the focus.
Well, there's no bad
they're
guy.
They're secondary characters.
It looks like there's no bad guy. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I mean, I'm also confused about what they're doing. I mean, it just looks like it's
doing?
A music. There's not like a ton of plot there. So
no.
It's like, I can see someone just seeing it. And if they just know the song, You Can't Stop the Beat, like they wouldn't see anything weird about it.
I don't think so though, because I haven't seen a single response to this. It's been like, I love it. Like every
well, no, I'm
single
not saying,
thing
but
I've
I,
seen
I,
has been like,
the people
what?
That I'm talking about right now wouldn't be the people that would comment about it. I just mean, there might be people that just see it,
yeah,
and they're not going to make a think piece about it,
but
they
also
might just
I'm like,
be like
how
I like the
because
song.
Hairspray
like,
is like
might...
even if you don't know musicals, you know Hamilton, Hairspray, and Wicked, like
yeah, but they might just not they it might not click for them.
Why are you
like
defending
if they
them?
Haven't seen? I'm not. I'm
why
not
defending.
I'm just saying there
Vogue
might be
magazine
people.
And Yolanda
no, I'm not
Hadid.
Defending Vogue magazine. I'm defending the people who might, and I'm not even defending them. I'm just saying there might be people who see it. And only know the song and don't really think about what Hairspray is about. And they might not realize that it's strange.
And isn't that the problem of our freaking society? Oh, my God.
Well, it's just like people should be musicals should be. It's almost like art should be a requirement for people.
Yeah, it's almost like it matters. Like it's important. I can't get over like, yes, I understand. But I'm just saying there was so much budget here. There was so much money. We put all this money into something. And we didn't think about the potential. If you want, I just,
yeah,
it's
and
so
like,
funny.
I feel like
though.
no one's going to say anything about it. It's crazy.
It's insane.
That nothing's been said.
It's so wild, especially in this world where like low key, I have been on my soapbox about this a little bit, but I feel like the introduction of Ozempic into society has made, you know, skinny culture more accessible for people, which, like, I don't have any problem with that. But I think for a lot of the people who are like, well, I'm super skinny, they want to find a way to, like, separate themselves from the people who are skinny from Ozempic and the people who are really skinny people. And there are, like, I keep seeing just more, like, pro-Anna stuff and, like, pro-ED shit on my timeline.
It's definitely making a resurgence,
which is, I think, very scary. Has to do with the Ozempic craze, which, again, I'm like, if you're on Ozempic, good for you. Like, I don't care at all.
Yeah.
But I do think it's gonna just further and deepen, like, the how we still have to separate ourselves somehow, some way, and it's gonna bring about this, like, unhealthy thing. So I'm just like, it's interesting that they're doing this in a time where I'm noticing a lot of people who weren't always super skinny looking more skinny, and the skinny people looking even skinnier, and a lot of discourse about people's bodies, which we weren't doing. Like, it's just an interesting time to do it as well, I think. So anyway, if you haven't seen it, you gotta go watch. I think it's crazy. I would love to see Vogue do something with Hairspray, but just in this way, I'm just like, it's just so, I'm not offended. I'm just think it's, like, so funny, kind of. I'm like, what? Like, how? Anyway.
Yeah, I just don't know how you miss it. It seems like a hit out of the park.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Nikki Blonsky and her turnaround time on Cameo.
Guys, we found out that her average turnaround time for Cameo from when you order it to when you get it is, like, 4 to 5 minutes.
So how did you find this out?
Because I saw one video that was a Cameo of her, and someone said that that was how long it took for her to get it back. Oh, and then all these comments were like, oh my gosh, I ordered one for my friend and it took, like, this amount of time. And it's like, a by and large, a very, someone commented and said, I just think she, like, waits around and waits till she gets a Cameo, does it, sends it, and I think that's her day.
I think that's her day's work.
And she, I mean, Hairspray is clearly her only thing that she can talk about. She doesn't, like, get ready for these either, but she doesn't have to. But it's not like she's, like, sitting in, like, an office with a ring light, like,
wanting these
to, like, look.
I'm dying. Sorry. I just looked up her Cameo, okay? And it says, average
video. How much is it?
$100. So she's making bank.
She's making money.
Yeah. She writes, it says average video length, 1 minute and 12 seconds. Last completed video today, 1:22 p.m. It is 1:23 p.m. right now.
And also, I feel like she probably lives, like, on the West Coast.
Okay, here's her bio. Hey, you might know me as Tracy Turnblad in the movie Hairspray. I love all my fans and I love making them smile. So let's make a Cameo and make your loved ones smile with a Cameo from me. She consistently receives 5-star reviews. $100, though, is kind of crazy. Nikki Blonsky is a bona fide Hairspray queen, and her personalized Cameo videos are a must for any big fan of the iconic musical. Customers regularly request Nikki to channel her bubbly, sassy Tracy Turnblad persona, whether it's for birthday shoutouts, pep talks, or just general celebrations. She'll happily serenade fans with songs from the soundtrack, give advice on overcoming challenges, or simply spread her infectious positivity. Nikki also loves to get personal, often highlighting what makes the recipient special, their hobbies, quirks, or lifelong Hairspray devotion. If you're looking for a one-of-a-kind video that's equal parts heartwarming and hilarious, a Cameo from the nicest kid in town is sure to delight. Okay, I'm buying a Cameo and saying, can you tell me what you think about the Vogue You Can't Stop the Beat video featuring Gigi Hadid and notably not Nikki Blonsky, Tracy Turnblad?
She literally will, like, open these Cameos singing I Can Hear the Bells. Like, if it's, like, people will request, like, can you congratulate my friend on her wedding? Or, like, different, like, she's always singing, of course.
She's like, how do I turn this into Hairspray? Oh, my God. That is insane. I love it so much.
But, yeah, 4 to 5 minutes is so funny.
That is hilarious. I just feel like we've got it as a theory, but now that I know it's $100, I'm like, never mind. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good on that.
Tax write-off.
you're so right. Okay, so let's talk about the woke Snow White and the drama with this, because they just had their premiere, or, like, it wasn't really a premiere, it was very much scaled back because of all the controversy, and no journalists were invited because they are so scared of what Rachel Zegler is gonna fucking say. Which is kind of, I mean, I so noticed funny.
It's so funny. It's the Chapel Ronification, I feel like, of young stars. Which you're okay, and you know that we've been a little hard on Chapel. We've never been hard on her in a way of like, we are on her side of things and how she she's fighting for and the way that stars should be treated. They're not commodities, all this stuff.
Right.
Especially when it comes to the paparazzi and everything.
Yeah.
She has changed the way. I don't know if they've really changed how they talk to everybody, but I saw a video of her at Fashion Week in Paris where she's standing in the middle of like this square and all these paparazzi people are taking her picture and they're saying, can you please look this way? Thank you, Chapel. Thank you. They're saying please and thank you to her. And
they're
like,
scared of her.
They may as well like throw money at her.
Good for her.
After they're done taking her picture. And it's like, she is that's a really positive thing that she's done. But yeah. I think that they like, there's a level of unfilteredness that is coming from a lot of young celebrities, yes. Which is good and bad. But I think that with Rachel, Disney isn't used to that.
I mean, did Disney know what they were getting themselves into? Like,
well, also the other wrinkle is the fact that she's starring alongside of her controversial co-star Gal Gadot. So it's like, I mean, we saw at the Oscars, like Rachel did not want to be up there with her.
They have opposing views, and that's, but I mean, I was looking at headlines this morning that are like, everyone's looking happy. We're looking like a happy family at the premiere. Like, yeah, because it's their job and they should.
But it's giving like not to the same level, but is giving like the way that Everybody for It Ends With Us, like, okay, we have to show up, but we know all this is happening.
Absolutely.
Like, honestly, it's giving another simple favor like that.
Yeah, which I want to talk about that.
Yeah, so we should, because Anna Kendrick.
What do you think about how Anna Kendrick is handling the press tour?
Well, I think I understand where she's coming from. She's not involved in all of this. People want to implicate her so badly. And every question she gets on the carpet is essentially about what it's like working with Blake right now. And so I do. And here's the thing. Like, we're a lot of people who are pro Justin are acting like Anna Kendrick hasn't also had rumors about her for years that she's really difficult to work with. She's very similar to Blake. That's part of why people initially thought that Blake and Anna had beef, was because they're both notoriously difficult to work with. Which, isn't that interesting that we have that rumor about so many women in Hollywood?
Women who are
outspoken and a little bit dry.
Yep.
I think that's a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
But Anna, that with the one clip I'm thinking of specifically, where I'm like, okay, if Blake had this response to anything in this tone,
oh my God,
pro Justin people would have had her by her throat.
Yes.
Because the way Anna says it is like, I'm here to promote a movie and I think it's really good. And she like points to it and she is kind of bitchy in her response, which is like, I get, because it would be hard, but it's a double standard.
Yeah, I agree. Someone goes, how is it working with Blake? And she goes, oh, you know, did you see that one?
Mm-hmm.
So that one, I think, but what's also interesting is it's like whichever side of the camp you fall on this, you can take Anna Kendrick's responses and make them into like self-serving. Right. You know what I mean? So like all the pro Baldoni people are like, see, look, she hates her. And for me, I'm like, if she hated her, I don't think she would be answering like that. I think she's answering like that to be like, okay, I don't want to fuck it. This isn't what this is about.
Yeah.
It's not what we're talking about. I'm exhausted by answering these questions. Like,
maybe she does hate Blake.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's because of this.
No, and she's not going to tell you.
Blake guilty of any sort of crime.
No, like, I know.
Just for me, it's always going to come back to that. Another thing I want to talk about just quickly about the Blake Justin thing. We don't have to go too into it, but did you see the hotel video?
No.
Apparently, and this is where I'm like, okay, guys, it's already been unhealthy.
Yeah.
But this is like another level. Mm. This pro Justin person like basically waited in the hotel lobby like to filming to like get a glimpse of Blake.
Okay.
So that she could say that something,
you're right,
that she was rude or something like that. And then the video comes out and there's like this thing that happens where the video is leaked to a couple pro Justin creators and they're like, I totally understand why this creator isn't releasing the video, like all this stuff, like, and then the video comes out and Blake doesn't say anything. It's like a nothing burger of a video. It's like there's nothing. And also it's like, okay, if there is an instance where she's kind of snippy with people, mm-hmm, it's probably because you're sitting in the lobby like
stalking her. Like, yeah, like
that is, if you're getting to that point of things, like, go outside, not to her hotel.
Yes.
Like, go find things to actually care about.
Yes.
Other than trying to just find that exact moment where Blake, the curtain falls and you can like expose her for who you think she really is.
And because also at the end of the day, like you getting an inflammatory video of Blake Lively or you thinking you're catching her in a bad moment isn't going to sway the jury or like isn't going to like change the decision that's made in the courthouse when this goes to trial. So like at this point, like just cool it. Like none of this matters. And they both want to move on. Or at least it seems like Blake does. I don't know. I haven't seen what Justin Baldoni's been up to, but like
him Blake too. I mean, I haven't seen a whole ton about what he's been up to. I thought it was very good for Blake to go. That's another thing. She shouldn't have to stop living her life because of what's happened. And neither should he. Like if they truly believe that both of them, like Justin thinks he's right, Blake thinks she's right, like they should be able to move on. And again, we've said this before, but like this idea that Blake should be like curled up in a ball crying until this is all over with, it's like, do you expect every victim of anything to do that?
Right.
Like,
yeah, they do. They literally do. If you are not very dangerous, like somebody's perfect definition of what a victim should be, then like you're lying. That is consistently shown in our culture, and it's fucking deplorable and so grody and just. But there is one thing, Phoebe and I talked about it a little bit on the Patreon, but there was this order that they were saying they were going to like release all of Blake and Ryan's texts with like everyone in their contacts. And we're talking about like, imagine being Taylor Swift and thinking your texts with Blake Lively are going to be released. Like, oh my. So wait, you said that's not happening now, like for sure.
Yeah. The judge basically said, and everything I've seen, like the judge has been very, very fair to both sides.
I agree.
I think if you're pro Justin, it seems like he's leaning towards Justin. I think if you're pro Blake, it seems the same. Like, I think that he's, and that's, I feel like that's probably a good thing that you can't tell. But I think it's called an attorney's eyes only order or something. And it's basically like, I don't want to get this wrong, but here is what I read. I don't think it's ever really granted. I think it's very difficult to get that. And basically, it's that anything that's found in discovery until everything happens. And I don't know what the court trial is going to look like. Like, I don't know if we'll be able to watch it or anything like that. So until then, I'm pretty sure everything that's found, because this is what Justin Baldoni was doing partially, is that his team would like leak all this stuff that they were to kind of sway public opinion. And the judge was basically like, look, I'm not going to, we'll move it up, but there are certain things that I won't do, but I also understand this case is very different.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want it to last too long because of how the public will react.
Okay. So I see it here. Yeah. The actress's request for a protective order was approved on Thursday, which means her It Ends With Us co-star cannot leak sensitive information like her private texts with celebrity pals to the public by law. It says, going forward, evidence both parties will use to prove their case in court, including non-public photographs and videos, audio recordings, quote, the identity and nature of personal relationships, and medical and mental health records will be confidential and for attorney eyes only. So, yeah, that's...
Which seems like common sense to me. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Like,
it seems and like, especially for celebrities...
Well, if you are Justin Baldoni and your desire is to kill her socially, which is like, I think the main goal here is to ruin her socially so that, like, you know, we've seen that leak into courtrooms. We've seen how that goes, especially with this being a jury trial. Like, I don't know. I could see him wanting it to be out so that, but it's like half that shit can't be used in court probably. So it's just, it does seem like common sense, and it feels like the only reason you would really want the entire public to have all of these things
exactly.
is if you're trying to like form the opinion against her.
Mm-hmm.
But what Phoebe and I were talking about is like, can you imagine what we would have heard and found and seen in the text between Taylor and Blake? Like, if we thought the text between Blake and Justin were bad and people thought she was like making herself embarrassing with her Khaleesi references, can you imagine what she and Taylor, Alice and Swift have been talking about?
It's not even anything that would be like bitchy or anything like that. I'm concerned about.
Well, I bet there would be bitchy texts.
Oh, for sure. But that's not even what I would be most concerned about. I'm most concerned about, like, I don't want to see what cringy fucking memes they send
like
each other.
Cat memes that Taylor
like what
is
they
sending
think is
Blake.
Funny. Like, I don't want
to know.
See
or like
that.
The outfit pics. Like, what do you think of this? Oh my God, give me an audio recording of Taylor being like, just trying this out. And it's, how bad do you want me, Lady Gaga? Just kidding. That girl in your head ain't real. How bad do you want me for real?
Guys, I am like really going back through Lady Gaga.
Are you?
Right now.
Oh my God.
I've only been listening to
Eat,
Fame.
Sleep and Breathe. Like. Mayhem. Oh, The Fame.
Yeah, I've really gone back there.
The Fame.
I was thinking, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but once and I can take this out if I need to, but once we are done with Pretty Little Liars, what if, and you said, I like the idea of doing one episode that is more like research based, but there we could do episodes about certain people. We could pick people, different things to really, and I think Lady Gaga is a really, because I was like too young to like really understand what was happening, because I was just listening to the New York Times's podcast about it, and they were all like graduating college and like starting to work in music journalism at the time of Just Dance coming out, and so their perspective was just completely different than anything I'd ever heard anybody say, because they were like actual adults, young adults watching it, and young adults who were dissecting music at the time, and they were like, it's super interesting to hear them talk about everything that she was doing. I'm in my Lady Gaga bag right now.
I would love to do a deep dive on her one day, because it is, she's just also like lived so many lives, and it feels like she's been such a constant in our lives. I definitely feel like mine since high school. Like I remember when all of these things came out, I remember like dancing to using The Fame in a song, and when in school you could take dance instead of gym and we had to do dance routines, and I would always choose a new song from Fame, but literally The Fame, that song I loved, and I would always
Also remember we were in Spring Lake one time, and we were walking back from the ice cream store, and we were all just singing Love Game, and I think making mom really upset because of and I was like, what does love game mean?
What does disco stick mean, mom? Tell me, mom.
I was like, why are you
singing? What is a disco stick, mom? Tell me. Okay, so I'm sorry. That was so fun. Let's have some fun. This beat is sick. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Okay. I'm sorry. Sex has never sounded better, Loki. That is how we should be selling sex. I want to take a ride on your freaking disco stick. Okay?
Oh, my God.
First, when different sluts like us, that's how we'd like to refer to sex from now on. Like, I mean, that's just a hilarious way to say that. Disco stick. And then it didn't even catch on.
Like,
is the hilarious thing.
Crazy.
No one was like using that. And I'm like, now I'm like, why am I not using
this? One of the guys on the podcast was like, I remember one of my friends came back from studying in India for like 6 months, and he didn't know anything about what was going on in Western culture. And then we went out one night and Just Dance came on, and he was like, what is this? Like, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
The guy goes,
so basically there's this girl named Lady Gaga, and I have to tell you about everything that she's been up to.
Oh,
but
my
this
God.
Is her. And like, imagine hearing Just Dance for the first time. And imagine it being 2007, being old enough to go dance in a club and Just Dance coming on.
No, dude, I would give anything. Like, that would have been such an iconic time to be in the clubs. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I would have loved it. Oh my God. I'm loving Mayhem. We have to talk about The Giver. I am so glad it's finally on Spotify, because I have literally, since she did her SNL performance, been looking up the YouTubes of her doing it. And then like when they do the podcast version on Spotify, it's the only way you can like upload one of those songs. Oh my God. But I hate having the audience noises in it, and also sorry, but I felt like it was a little bit pitchy on SNL, so I was really excited to hear it for real, and I can't stop. It literally brings me back, makes me feel, and I just remember those days of my Shania Twain cassette tape. It had You're Still the One, That Don't Impress Me Much, Man I Feel Like a Woman, and probably one more. I think only literally had like 4 songs on it, and I was like, this is music. Like, that actually might have been the moment that made me say culture is for me, actually, because that was kind of how I learned how to sing. And it was always the twangy sort of fun pop country is the stuff that got me wanting to sing. I remember when someone did Knock on Wood on American Idol, and that was like my song forever because of that. But it's because my voice just kind of like lends itself to that type of sound. So it's so exciting to hear Chapel doing it, because she's doing it so well. Like, and I kind of like...
Great.
that she doesn't really talk in the song, because that is a Shania staple.
And that's actually at the end, that's my least favorite part of the song.
My least favorite part is when the men start singing during the bridge.
I don't mind it.
During the non-existent bridge.
It's not my favorite Chapel song, but I don't know that it's my favorite.
It's the newest one we have, so it right now feels like my favorite because I've listened to the rest. But
I think
honestly,
I would have rather gotten the Subway. Really? I love that song.
But this is going to be such a fun song to have this summer.
Yeah.
Do you think she's...
I'm not unhappy. I just prefer that song.
Do you think she's going to be releasing an album soon?
I mean, in theory, it's been 2 years, but...
Well, if she's releasing a single, you would think that she's going to start, but...
Yeah, but Good Luck Babe was a single, and it wasn't on either album.
Right.
And it came out a while ago. I don't think she's doing things the traditional way. I think that we can count on.
I think that is one thing we can pretty much freaking count on. That's so funny. But it is so good. Did you see that she went live, and, like, she never goes live, and she could not figure out... Some guy joined the live, and she couldn't figure out how to get him off. And she was like, leave! Yes. Please leave! Please leave! Please leave! And she finally just had to stop the live because she couldn't figure it out. Like, that's not very Gen Z of you, chap.
I don't think I'd be able to figure it out.
You don't think you'd be able to?
No, I've never been live on TikTok, so I think I'd have a meltdown.
Not that I haven't asked her over. Well, and also you have to, like, allow someone to join. I've gone live many a time, and no one's ever tried to, like, come on the screen with me. And if they had, I don't know what I would have done, but I think I probably could have figured out how to get them off.
We've become privy to the information that it's very easy to hack things on TikTok, apparently.
When have we become privy? Oh, yeah. Not Phoebe. I know you can't see her, but she looks at me and does this big dramatic nod. We can't talk about it on the pod, but we do know. We have inside information on one of the biggest accounts on TikTok.
Alex Earl.
Alex Earl. Get Alex Earl's account back on TikTok. Wait, bad news. TikTok is not around forever. I think it's like April 5th or something, and we might lose it again.
Already? Like, I think it was 6 months.
No, it was 75 days.
Oh.
I'm like, are we freaking serious?
Okay, you guys knew you had to sell it. So
What is going on?
Let's get it going. Like, what's the hold up?
Should we talk about Summer House? Did you watch?
Oh, fuck. No.
Dude, what?
I completely forgot about... No, it was a very busy week.
What's going on with you?
Oh, my God.
What is going on with you?
I just had a very busy week, but I told you tonight is my plan. Like, once I get home, tonight I'm making a steak salad. I'm so excited.
Yum. What are you putting
making
on
a
it?
Steak. Whatever I want when I get to the store.
Did you put this in here? Weird moods in the note?
No. Which means you were probably in a weird mood when you did it.
I've never been in a weird mood, Phoebe. Shut up. I've literally never been in a weird mood before. You sound insane right now. You sound insane right now. Okay, so you're making a steak salad tonight. Walk us through it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm going to get to the store and, like, whatever I'm feeling.
All right, if I were making it, here's what I would do. Okay. I would do a base of arugula. Do you like arug?
I do, but I'm doing romaine for sure. Maybe some spinach.
Okay, well, I would do arugula, and then I would do cherry tomatoes cut in half that I've marinated in balsamic for a little bit, because that's what they do at IO, and it's so good. Okay, but then you don't have to do balsamic for your dressing if you don't want to, because it's, like, in the tomatoes. And if you cut them in half, and they're, like, juicy and, like, it's so good. Okay, then I would put red onion. Then I would put burrata. I would put burrata on there so that it's, like, special, okay? I would do, what else? Maybe, like, a chimichurri, and that would be the dressing. It would be, like, a chimichurri. I know it sounds weird, guys, the chimichurri with the burrata, but I promise it would be really good.
I think I'm probably going to do, like, blue cheese, tomatoes. I think Julie makes this really good dressing with, like, it's oil, vinegar, honey, salt, pepper. Like, I feel like it's very simple. Yeah. But it's, like, a little bit sweet. Because I don't normally love oil and vinegar. It's not my favorite. But I'll either do that, or I have a dressing that I make that's pretty... It's fine. But I think I'm going to make that the other one. And tomatoes, onions, corn, edamame, olives for sure.
Oh, my gosh. So...
Kalamata olives.
Ugh, you lost me. How are you going to cook your steak?
Butter, rosemary, garlic.
Oh, you'll do it. You'll do it my special way from the Wall Street Journal.
Maybe it's probably the same. That's not the recipe.
Do you have a cast
I use.
Iron skillet?
No, I have a stainless steel pan. Huh.
Okay. Actually, that's so classic of you. That's actually not surprising at all.
What?
That makes so much sense. You just give the vibe that you would have a stainless steel pan.
I didn't buy it. It was given to me.
Oh, never mind then. You do seem like the type of person that would buy that because you'd be like, well, this is what real chefs use. And you can't argue. You know it.
No. Well, you know what? I have in my Amazon cart is those kitchen rags that all kitchens have. I want to buy like a big pack of those.
Are you
going to
put
badly.
One over your shoulder?
No. But like, I just like having it to like wipe things, and I don't want to use one of my like nice dish towels that like, you know what I mean? So yes. I would like to have those. I also would buy those like fifth, like the, or the, like the, you know, the containers.
Yeah. Phoebe straight up wants to be in the kitchen on the Bear. She wants to feel like she is in a television an episode of the Bear when she's cooking.
Yes.
Okay, you're crazy for that. You're crazy for that.
My spaghetti sauce, by the way, everybody, I don't remember if I said on the pod that I was making it, but it freaking was delicious.
Oh, that's great to hear, Fee. That's awesome. Good for you.
Yes, thank you.
Good for you. Wait, oh my God. I have to share something that Drama did the other day. So I'm walking the dogs, and Drama insists on running in a zigzag the whole time. Like, Chuck will just be straight ahead, like, totally good to go. Drama, I don't really know if it's because his legs are shorter and he, like, needs to, but he's faster, so he needs to make up more time. I don't know. But I then hear him saying, well, actually, because, and if you ever heard that when you're running from a crocodile, you got to run zigzag or they'll get you. You ever heard of that, Chuck? Charleston, you're dead meat if a crocodile shows up here. You're actually dead meat. Mama, we should all be going in zigzags right now in case of a crocodile. I read it around in my picture book. Actually, I was reading a chapter book. Actually, I was reading an encyclopedia because I can read bigger words than Chuck. So anyway, we should all be going in a freaking zigzag. Chuck, you're fucking flick. I said flick. Flick! And then we watched his mouth out with soap, so that's where it kind of got stuck. But I want to know where Drama learned this. Where did he learn that you should? Mom always taught us. Why did we, similarly to how John Mulaney has that one sketch where he's like, I thought quicksand was going to be like a way bigger issue than it is, running from crocodiles. I was convinced I would be doing this on the reg, the way that Mom was like,
I don't
have to run in a zigzag.
I mean, I'm sure it's similar, but it's specifically Mom taught us for alligators. Because, like, but I do, I was always glad that I knew because...
Just in case.
At Wild Dunes, there are alligators everywhere. And sometimes the alligator, if you're on a bike ride, there's that pond before you would like cross the street. And sometimes the alligators are on the side of the traffic, not the golf course.
I've never seen that with my own two eyes.
I have.
When you're biking?
Yes.
Do you start biking in a zigzag?
Well, normally, I mean, you just try to, if you don't like do anything to get it angry, it'll just stay there. One time I saw just a baby crossing the street there. And I was like, oh my God, the mom is somewhere. And I don't want the mom to think that I am like,
oh my God, wrong place, wrong time vibes.
Literally,
you're like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. It wasn't me, it wasn't me. Boom, boom. That's the mama alligator coming out. Boom, boom, boom. So I imagine it sounds when they walk around. Well, I can't wait. I'm bringing the dogs to the beach, and they've never been on the beach, so it's going to be so cute.
I know.
But Drama's training because he heard about the alligators and the crocodiles and
right,
and he was like,
right.
Well, that's why I got to run zigzag. Check your dead meat.
Yes.
And I'm like, Drama, Chuck is way bigger than you. Like, it's going to be a lot harder for the alligator to eat Chuck. So I'm just saying, I wouldn't be so cocky. But that's just how Drama is. That's just how Drama is. Wait, I was dead. So I got on the Gilmore to Say did their live show, which, guys, while we're here, I was thinking it might be a fun little thing for us to try on our Patreon. They do a live recording once a month where it's literally just like their normal recording the way they would do it. But they stream it to YouTube and they have like comments people can be in there watching. So you get to watch like the unedited version, like as it's happening in real time. And so I was watching, which was pretty fun. And Tara mentioned that I was there. And I guess we have a lot of the same listeners, which was so fun because a lot of people were like, oh, I love the Pretty Little Podcast. Hi, Caroline. And then Tara's cat starts walking around in the back and someone goes, Caroline, we need a voice for Luna. Like we have a voice for drama. And I was like, unfortunately, I can't claim drama's voice. It's Anthony's creation. But yeah, so drama's voice has caught on, which is why I needed to share that little anecdote.
How's Anthony doing with the loss of Justin Fields from the Steelers?
Oh, you're going to have to ask him. Am I going to have to bring him in for a sports segment? Yeah. God, am I going to have to do that?
But guys, Pittsburgh, we might lose Sierra, but yeah, we have another pop girl coming to the city of Bridges.
I love that music video.
Because
wait,
DK,
I have to say something.
And Normani just got engaged.
I have to say something. Okay, did you listen to the last Culturistas episode with Tate McRae?
Yeah.
Did you notice how she couldn't answer when they asked her for like a music video that inspired her?
I don't think I noticed that.
Oh my God. They were like, okay, tell us, Tate, what is like the music video that like you watch that you were like, I love that. Like
I feel like it might be generational.
It is.
Though.
It 100% is. But I was like, oh my God, she can't answer it. Like you need to go back and listen because she's like, oh my God, that's so hard to answer. And she's like, they're like, okay, we'll let you think about it. And so she's like, okay. And then she's like, well, I guess. And what did she, I think she said telephone, Lady Gaga.
That
Beyonce.
Would be my answer. Because I remember you, and I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember why, but I thought this would also be, this is one of my culture that made you say culture was for you. You bought that on iTunes.
Yep.
So it was on my iPod. Yeah. Yes. And I remember mom was like, you are not allowed to watch that.
Oh, my because God.
Because she's, like, naked walking through the prison. Yeah, like, or yeah. She, her shirt, like, keeps, like, going yeah. off. And I remember sneaking it because I wanted to watch it so badly.
Of course.
And on my little iPod Nano that I won through, what was the wrapping paper competition?
Oh, Sally Foster. Yes, Sally Foster.
We had to like sell wrapping paper and I wanted to win so bad. It was like
you
this
got like
the bookmark
great
competition.
Prizes.
And I won my iPod Nano.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy.
And that's how I watched it on a screen about that big, like that, literally an inch long.
That was one of the
and
first
that's how I watched
dances
it.
That I was like, I want to learn that, like on a dance.
It was also like one
video.
Of the first music videos I feel like for our generation, because it was like at this point, most music videos were just the song. There wasn't like a big idea behind it. Yeah. And it was like amazing dances and like cool concepts. But this was like a 10-minute long, like fleshed out idea. Whereas like we were used to like a Hit Me Baby One More Time where there's a concept and there's a story that's being told kind of, but it is just the song.
Yeah. I remember growing up with like the big dance music videos, and that was a huge thing, and it kind of went out of style for a little bit, but like the Missy Elliott's and the Sierras, like that was so I was expecting Tate to like call that out or say
I mean
that would have been such an easy answer, Missy Elliott, like Alison Stoner
maybe,
dancing in her videos.
I wouldn't think about that. And I'm a little bit older than her. Like but I do feel like Britney's an easy answer. Like I feel
Britney,
like that's like
exactly Slave for You. Like think
Beyonce,
about
Single Ladies. Like
I know.
Those are easy
you know what?
Answers.
I'm sorry. I don't think she said Telephone. I think she did say Single Ladies, which I felt like was a little bit of a cop out. Like I was like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because for someone
I mean,
like
I remember
Tate,
seeing her. Well, when I saw the She's All I Want to Be music video, I was like, that's Britney. Like her dancing is like pop star dancing. Incredible. And I felt the same. I said the same thing about the Fast Times music video for Sabrina Carpenter. Those are and it's like they might they're Sabrina's a little older, but like they probably both like. But I think Sabrina would be able to answer that. I think Sabrina would like without a ton of answers.
Probably. I honestly was like, whoa, I like did not love that she didn't have an answer.
I also feel like for her. Because she grew up in the dance world in a way that's different than I feel like a lot of people. So maybe it's also like that's not really what they were because they were the ones they were doing all this stuff and they were like, they were in like dance moms.
I expected her to know because of that. Like, I mean, that's what we were all doing. Like we were going to dance class and then we were going and watching dance videos and like trying to recreate it. So I have a hard time believing they weren't doing things like that. Like, I just thought it was interesting that she couldn't call one out. Like I was, except, and then she finally did, and it was single ladies. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of like, you know. And then it's like 5 minutes later, and Matt's like, okay, so wait, what's the music video? And she's like, wait, well, I just said single ladies, right? Like, didn't I just say that? Like, I answered it. But she did not want to spend time on that question. And I was like, there are so many answers you could have said that I would have thought she would think of, like, especially the Missy Elliott. But then I was like, why not Normani? Why not Normani Motivation? Yeah. Because Motivation, she's recreating like three different music videos in Motivation. Mm-hmm. And I watched that music video when it came out a few years ago. I mean, it was 2019. I watched it over and over and over and over. Like, I was like, we're back. And then Normani just fell away. I'm like, where the hell is she? Bring her back to Pittsburgh so I can talk to her.
I feel like maybe also for Tate, because she said in the episode also, I think she has a tough time saying this in a way where she doesn't want to come across as like ungrateful or like weird about this. But I think the comparison thing maybe frustrates her a little bit. And so if she were to point to a Britney or some sort of video where people are already comparing her to them, maybe she's just trying not to feed into the comparisons. But I'm like,
maybe,
girl,
but I'm like, at this
that's
point,
what's bolstering you up.
Aren't we trying to get cast in the biopic, girl? Why would we not say Britney? Why would you not just say Britney anyway? You know what I mean? Like, say Me Against the Music or something, right? Wasn't that her, Madonna? Yes.
I have no idea.
Yes, you do. That's the song where they kissed on stage.
I remember that. I don't remember the music video though.
Well, it's like a big dance music video, but it's like, you could have said Madonna, like you could have said so many things. And I get that maybe they weren't like your influence, but I see a lot of the dancing that like they were doing in the Missy Elliott videos and the Ciara videos in what Tate is doing and the Britney stuff. So it's like, I just think it's interesting that she couldn't answer the question. I was like, whoa. Yeah. But I would love to see Normani in Pittsburgh. I'd love to see Normani release some new music, maybe a music video.
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been? In Pittsburgh specifically. But
well, she didn't she release something and then people didn't like it?
The last thing I really remember her releasing was Motivation. So maybe I just didn't know.
There was something.
Oh my God. She does that move in the Motivation music video where she literally throws the basketball.
She released an album
up
last year.
Oh, I didn't hear it at all. Literally didn't come across my desk once.
I don't think people. I don't think people liked it.
That's sad.
That's why.
There's
but
that
like
move
Cardi
in the
B's on it. James Blake is on it. Gunna's on it.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I'm not saying anything to you. I'm just saying I thought I remembered her releasing something and nobody liked it, which is why it didn't like.
That's crazy that that's crazy that that I wouldn't have even heard about it because no one liked it. Like, that's wild. But there was that move in Motivation in the music video where she does the turn and she bounces the basketball off of her ass. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. Like, and then she did it live. Oh, in the rain scene. I'm just like, Tate, you should have said that. There. Tate, you should have said Motivation Normani 2019. Even though, well, she's probably like six at that time. So just kidding. I'm just kidding. I really like Tate. Okay. But I do wish she had a better answer to that. There. I said it. All right. Do you want to go into our rotations? Do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. First up on my dream rotation is The Giver by Chapel Roan. I am addicted. I think it will probably be my top track of the year if I had to guess at this point. Good Luck Babe was my track last year, so that would track if it is, which that did kind of surprise me. But I just love it. I can't stop listening to it. I just think it's so fun. I love it. There, I said it. I love it. Okay, that's first.
Yeah.
Next up on my rotation is next up is Grandpa Joe's Candy Store. I love having one just so close to me. Anthony and I went on a little lunch date the other day, and then afterwards we walked up to Grandpa Joe's, and here's what I got. I refilled my squashies. Got some squashies. So good. I just think I love the texture. What are your thoughts on the squashies, by the way?
I've never had them.
Yes, you have, at my house.
No, I don't think I've ever eaten them.
I gave you one. I fed it to you. It was the same night you tried some other things. Well, that sounds bad.
I think they're probably fine. I think they were probably good. I'm not like a huge gummy person.
Right. Anyway, I also restocked my peelers. Really good. Restocked my Haribo Smurfs, which are the best candy ever invented. They have the same texture as a Haribo gummy bear, but they're a little bit flatter, which is nice, and they're a little bit longer. And then it's just all the flavors that you actually want and none of the flavors that you don't want, because it's like only blue, yeah, clear, and red. It's so good. So anyway, it was just so nice to go there. And as I was checking out, I was like, oh, I'm so excited, because I was getting all my favorite candies that like you can't fucking find anywhere. And the girl checking me out goes, I love to hear that. And I was like, I bet you do. And I went like a month ago and I tried to get squashies and they were out. And the guy behind the counter was like, I am so sorry. Please come back in a week. Please. I promise you we will have them. I am so sorry that you came here to get them and we don't have them. Like, he was like going
to
cry.
You know, that's so actually bad. Really good to hear, because, you know, I don't love having that up there.
I know. And I.
So I'm glad that, like, I'm glad the customer served. That feels like,
oh my
like
God,
it makes it
Phoebe,
worth
wait till
it.
You hear this.
I just don't love it being in that location.
Yeah, I know you don't. But I think you need to get over it, because I think it's a great place. Also for the kids, you know, like, I think it's the kids who are walking down for pizza lunch from the schools. Like, I think it's great.
You know my issue. We had one. That's why it bothers me.
I know. But it was a lot smaller. And look, they made a decision. Anyway, I think you need to let go of the past and just be okay with it. Be okay with the present. You don't even live here. You don't even live here. So give me a break. Okay, but we're there yesterday. Whatever day. And Anthony's like, oh, I wish they had Chunkies. I'd never heard of Chunkies. It's a type of chocolate bar. The guy who apologized profusely to me for not having squashies pops out of the woodwork and is like, we have Chunkies. If you can wait a second.
Grandpa Joe, who was like maybe 35,
but that's it. He's long hair. We have Chunkies. Hang on one second. He runs in the back. He comes back. He's like, okay, I have one loose Chunky, but I have an entire box down in the basement that I will go start unloading if you need more than one. And Anthony goes, no, I literally just want one. He's like, are you positive? And Anthony's like, yes. But I mean, the guy literally was like, we have Chunkies. I cannot let you leave here thinking we don't. Like, the customer
That's
service.
The kind of customer. Like, in that, we are missing that. Like, people, yeah. I just saw this video of this girl who works at, like, this hotel posted it. I don't think she knew she was being filmed, but she was the concierge at this, like, really nice golf resort hotel that I think, like, Arnold Palmer was a part of at some point. And she was clearly just, like, so excited and eager to help people and to make sure that they are enjoying their stay and that everything is easy. This guy came up and was like, do I, like, call the shuttle? And she goes, no! You're on vacation. Wow. That is my job.
Bring back people who like their jobs.
Yeah. Or just like, I feel like we lost. And obviously, like, I mean, this doesn't work in every, not every place is enjoyable to work at. But like, people who really enjoy hospital. I was talking to one of my friends about this recently. She works at a bakery and was like, I just don't know how I like make this my job. Like, I just love talking to people and standing here and talking to people all day and like helping, like, I love that. And I was like, that is an art. Like, that is what some people are called to do.
Hospitality
and
is a real
hospitality,
thing.
Exactly.
And it and does I think make that they deserve a huge difference. Like, and you can tell sometimes that you go to,
like
even a restaurant,
this conversation,
you know,
makes me want to go to Grandpa Joe's now.
Yeah, like,
I've never want to go there.
I want to go all the time because they have all my favorite candies that I can't get anywhere. And I also love that they have their little, because there was nothing better than, like, okay, early aughts and you're going to South Hills Village Mall and you're going into Sweets from Heaven and you're filling up a bag with whatever you want from like the candy drawers. Like, that feeling of going to the mall with your friends and you have like $20 to spend and you get a few things, but then you have the candy and it's so great. And it's like, oh my God, that's what this store has. But it's like a box. It's always $5. You can put as much as you can fit in the box, $5. I'm like, I love it. Did you not know that?
No.
They have a wall of all the drawers where you can scoop your own candy. And they give you a box.
Well, I knew
it's like
that. I didn't know you could do
$5
it in the box.
$5 only.
My real resentment comes from the fact that I know there's more than one and that there is a billboard for
it. I know you don't like that. I know. But I'm just saying, if this can change the narrative a little bit, I hope it did. Because it was such a positive experience. And I left there and I was like, I just love having Grandpa Joe's right there. I just really do. Okay. And then the last thing on my dream rotation, I am going to put our sweet mother, because she's so sweet. My 30th birthday is coming up. I'm feeling a little emo about it. We're trying to figure out what to do. And she suggested we do a little girls trip down to Nashville, where famously Phoebe lives. And guys, we're staying at this like hotel. I guess I could say the name. It's The Graduate, because I'm not saying when we're going, but it has Dolly, like all over it. Like it's pink and all the rooms are so cute and it's just like so precious and we're gonna have the best little time. And mom's just being so cute about it. And it makes me think about when I turned 21 and we went to Sonoma. Anyway, so mom is on the dream rotation. This week is my third.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
She's the best. First is Harry Jowsey. Can't stand him. Second is Southwest Airlines. How are you going to take away everything that makes you competitive?
Everything that makes you who you are. And your prices
aren't even good enough to warrant this.
Hey, you've forgotten who you are. Okay, Southwest, you need to take a good look in the mirror and say, how did we get here?
The only reason I've ever enjoyed flying your airline is because you can pick your own seat.
And because bags, I like the way the boarding groups happen. Free.
And bags fly free. And you're changing all of those things.
And you're going to have to also change. What do you mean I'm going to have an
assigned seat?
You're going to have to change all your marketing materials. It's just like, yeah. Great. So now I'm going to have to pay more to sit in a spot I want to sit in. Now it's really going to matter. Like, it's really going to matter when I buy my ticket now. Which is annoying. And also,
that video of the CEO saying, we know like this is about profitability. Hey, that's not my responsibility. Don't put out a video that's supposed to make the consumers feel better about a decision you're making and then say it's to just maximize to profitability.
Money, yeah.
That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in using your service because it's a good service.
And because it's convenient.
You're taking away all the things that make it a good service.
Yeah, you're doing things that set you apart from the others. And you know what? I guess they're just banking on the fact that their pilots can land planes right side up. And they're like, well, that's what's setting us apart now. They're like, that's what's actually setting us apart from the other airlines at this point is that our pilots know how to fly planes. So like, they're like, we don't need to do free bags anymore because our pilots know how to fly.
The end of May, and then we're done.
It's so sad. Pisses me off.
It's gonna make
honestly.
Flying so unenjoyable.
It is. Well, I'm just like, I'm not gonna because fly Southwest.
I love
checking
a bag.
Me too.
Like, I like to check a bag so that I don't have to think about the liquids that I'm putting in my
exactly.
bag.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to think about any of that.
Some of my skincare stuff isn't the right size to even bring through security.
I'm not a carry on queen.
I did leave my toiletry bag at home when I came back down here.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad famously refuses to check bags.
Yeah.
And he brought it through. His only gripe with it was that it was heavy. And I was like, wait, did you?
And you were like, well, it takes a lot of makeup to do all this.
Did you put that through the security and it went through? Like, I actually need to ask if he, because I know he didn't just check that.
Isn't that troubling? Isn't that horrifying? I love that Phoebe, the TSA Instagram account, came across Phoebe's desk the other day and she thought it was a parody. She's like, why do we follow it? I'm like, we've been following it because I'm like, this is great marketing tips.
At first I thought it was real. And then I saw the username and it looked a little weird to me. And I was like, wait, maybe this is not real. And then you said it was real. Anyway.
It's so funny. So that's if that. You don't follow TSA on Instagram, you gotta.
Very funny. And the last is, I guess, the rain. But I've also really been enjoying it. Like the only reason I say the rain is because of when you have to be in it.
Oh, when you have to be in it, game over.
But like, I'm not leaving. I went to go see Opus yesterday, which we can talk about if you go see it. It was like, I would go see it if I were you. But
if I were you,
it's giving,
I'd get
like,
my ass to the theater.
I just feel like people keep making these kinds of movies and we don't really stick the landing on them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the issue.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll talk about it once you see it. But I went to go see it. I was the only one in the theater.
Oh my God.
I could be as loud as I want.
I can't believe
eat my popcorn during the quiet
parts of the
movies. This is
the first time hearing of this, honestly. I can't believe you didn't send me
a
selfie.
What happened less than 24 hours ago? Oh, so good.
Doesn't matter.
It was so good. Anyway.
We rarely get those experiences nowadays.
But I was sitting obviously still in my seat at the top, and the rain, you could hear the, you know how movie theaters roofs are like kind of tin?
Yeah.
You could hear it.
I love that.
Great. It was pouring. Caroline's having a 20 to watch today.
Fuck.
I was having one yesterday.
Like,
and then I was like,
now
I have to walk through this.
Yeah, I have to walk
my
car.
And here's my uniform for the movies. I wear my socks and stocks. So, and in the rain, like...
Maybe you should be barefoot.
I still
time.
Wore what I wanted to wear because I didn't want to have real shoes on. Because
Phoebe does
movie.
Not let the weatherman tell her how to dress. This is 2025, okay?
Yeah. So that's my rotation.
Men aren't going to tell Phoebe how to dress. Well, I just want to let you know that I was kind of thankful for the rain yesterday because I was on the way to get my hair cut and I spilled an entire venti iced coffee in Anthony's car. Entire thing. Yeah. Yeah, I was on the way. I'll tell you what happened real quick. I was pulling out of the parking lot and I was bringing my hair girl a coffee or a like lemonade thingy. She's pregnant. So I was just like, I'm going to bring her a little treat, like whatever. And as I'm pulling out, this other car, we're at the moment like, who's going to go? Who's going to go? And I was like, go, go, go. And the car won't go. And I'm like, go, just go. Oh my God. So then I start to go. That car starts to go immediately. I slam on the brakes. Coffee flies. And it literally, it spilled all over his seats, all over the car mat. Like,
were you holding
everywhere.
It?
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere.
Or was it in a cup holder?
I was holding it. And I was like, I mean, inconsolable is the word, I guess. And then I had to go to my hair appointment and walk in. And I was just like, and I left the window down because I was like, I need that rain to get in the car and wash that fucking coffee out of there because it was pouring. But it didn't really get any rain in the car. And we cleaned up the coffee. The car reeks, I'll say it. The car still smells like coffee, but it'll go away before our 10-hour road trip to Charleston, I hope. yeah, it was a bummer. Yeah. It's also like an $8 coffee.
Well, right.
Anywho, just sharing that, something about the rain, you know, whatever. All right, guys. So on Friday or this weekend, we will have our Pretty Little Punch Bowl episode. Okay. So if you have anything you'd like to submit to be in the episode or we talk about Pretty Little Liars, this is the time. Get it in. We're recording any minute now, so get it in. You can also listen to our episode from last week. We go through the Anatomy of Lies documentary as well as the Ruby Frankie documentary. We talk in depth. If you haven't watched them, you really should, but you should absolutely watch that. Patreon available to all tiers. And at the end of the month, we're going to be doing our girls pilot recap for Honorary Connell Sisters. So tune in. Make sure you're listening to our Thursday episodes as well. And tell someone you know about us. Thank you guys so much. We love you. And we'll see you next week. And splat.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.